Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We have Coach Wunstead here in studio. We're talking about the Bears. Do we know, Dave, if the offense is better now than the defense? If they're a defensive-driven team, they obviously brought in a punter, and it was very funny because the quarterback sent them a text saying, well, you're not going to punt much, and that's fun. But that kid is – I've never seen a punter like him. Needed to upgrade the punter, but I didn't know they were going to bring in the best punter. He might be the best punter in the league immediately. That's how good he's
been. And you know what tops it off? We know all of his numbers, his hang time. We used to say defensively, when we were good, and the Bears are a top defense, let's give them credit for that, that if we could get the opponent's offense to start inside the 10-yard line, it was points for us. Because you got to understand, when a play caller is calling the plays at the 20 as compared to the 10, it's completely different. They are. You don't want to throw the ball inside because they're probably going to have an extra safety up there for the run. And if the safety is going to be, you bring one up, you put one in the middle. So when you're coming off the goal line, if you see teams, majority of teams will throw the ball outside if you're going to throw it, and you're nervous. You know what I mean? So the point is that if this guy had 32 punts that were going inside the 20, and 29 and a 32 were fair caught.
How hard of a sell do you think that was for Ryan Poles, though? Even though all those things are true, you're in the fourth round, you still haven't gotten your edge rusher at that point of the draft. And I think that it took some nerve, actually, to step up and to do that. How many people do you think he had to convince in that draft room?
I think he had I think there was one factor. There would be with me. If you don't take him, Mully, David's going to.
Yes.
And you know that for a fact. And they were just this sold on this kid. And the other thing that you got to keep in mind is this kid, and I do Big Ten football, so
yeah,
I've watched him in a snowstorm in Iowa, I'll take you back, in a snowstorm in Michigan in front of 100,000 plus, which is more than he'll play in a punting the football. And so this kid is not coming from Southern California or some place where you're going to say, wow, is he going to be able to handle the crowd? Is he going to be able to handle the weather, the wind, the snow? He's done it.
Plus, he's no kid. He'll be 27 by the time he punts for the Bears.
Good point.
So he's a professional already, and he's more mature and experienced than most rookies.
Win one game. Win one or two games because of field position.
Well, that's
– and it's worth it.
And it's well worth it.
Right?
Let me ask you this, though. You look at Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins. I believe Ryan Bates right now is going to be the center. We'll see. Nate Davis, Darnell Wright.
I'm with
Darnell Wright, you feel good about because he's a drafted player.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Should improve. I'm not sure you feel fantastic about their offensive line. I'm being honest.
I don't. And the guy they drafted, God, yeah. I wish they would have said Fluce met him in an alley somewhere, not
yeah,
on a,
right.
not, on a, not,
not
on a private,
exactly.
not on a
yeah,
private golf
so
club. But no, we're kidding.
You're joking. Yeah,
we're all joking with that. But
normally you see the retired player on the golf course.
I agree with you. You know, I don't. Nate Davis hasn't proved that he can play consistently and stay healthy. Tevin Jenkins is the same way. We don't know about the center moving in there. I do like Braxton Jones to keep getting better, but is he going to be good enough? I don't know. I agree with you, Molly. One or two injuries on that offensive line, and we could be right back to where we were.
Yeah, don't you have to assume they're going to have one or two injuries on the offensive line based on health of
Jenkins and Davis? And yeah, those guys have been injury prone. They fall into that box.
How many offensive tackles did you ever draft out of Yale or the Ivy League?
Yeah.
Typically, you're going to Wisconsin, Ohio State, Notre Dame, you know, the SEC. I think Amagaji is a project. I don't know how much he'll be able to compete this year, but he does give you some depth.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, let's get back to the depth chart because we've got to talk about this. You feel very good about Andrew Billings, I'm guessing.
Yep, I do.
Jervon Dexter.
Yep, I do.
DeMarcus Walker. You feel good about Montez Sweat.
Yep.
They drafted a guy who is a part-time, maybe up-and-coming Austin Booker, a guy that
interesting, you know?
Is an interesting player. But, Dave, if you get to camp, before you get to camp, and you got 37-year-old Calais Campbell, who once played for Flusi, and you got Yannick Ngakoue, who knows? I don't know what he is or where he is or how healthy he is. He played okay at the end of the year, and then he got hurt. If he's healthy, do you add to that group? Do you feel like there are enough a defensive lineman short on that side of the ball, or do you like the group of players they have?
Probably. I mean, I think Walker, we know what he is. You know, he's been in the league, 8 years? He's been with four different teams, you know?
Yep.
So he's going to give us a great effort, and he's solid. I'm intrigued by this young guy, Booker. I'm telling you, this is the type of guys, going back to our University of Miami days, that we would covet. I loved getting guys. I was watching his tape, and this kid is athletic,
and
he plays hard. And I think he's got a lot of upside now. If he's I don't know what type of person he is, but there's something there. And I would love to work with this kid and see how far we can develop him and get him stronger. Because he does a lot of things that you don't coach. And whenever you get players, particularly those defensive linemen, between their feet and their hands and their get-off, that do things naturally that you don't have to coach, you work hard on those guys. And I kind of see some stuff in him. I'm really intrigued by this guy.
So if you're Matt Eberflus and you're coming out of this draft, after the free agent period, you've really improved your team. So the first time you're together, OTAs or a mini camp or these off-season workouts, whatever it is, how much do you worry or address managing expectations? There's a fine line there between, you know, getting carried away and setting the bar too high and also, you know, taking advantage of some momentum here. So as a head coach, what's the approach now?
Well, you're right. I think the excitement is going to be what it is. And you know Chicago, I mean, it's not going away. You know, and a little bit like Caleb said, you can't stick your head in the sand and avoid it. So meet it and address it the right way. And I think Flus's personality is good for this because he is steady. You know, he's proven that in bad times. And we haven't had many good, we consider real good yet, but he is steady. So I think that the leadership here will be good for this football team. I think we'll manage expectations. It's part of the deal, guys. I mean, the better you get, people expect more, and you got to deliver. I wish there was an easy answer, David, but we should expect a lot more this football team. We should expect to be a relevant team come December when they're talking playoffs. All those things, I think, are very realistic now. I think all those things are real, and it's not going to be easy. People are, you know, obviously everybody looks at their situation. Everyone's looking at the Bears. guys, the Vikings, tell you what, J.J. McCarthy, I would put, if they waste time with Sam Darnold, I would put, look at the, we're talking about our skill guys. Look at J.J. McCarthy's got up there.
And he's got a coach.
And he's got a quarterback coach. He's got a quarterback coach. It does.
And Josh McCown is there.
You don't see it, Dave.
No. I agree with you. I think it's very interesting, though, the way that you put that, Dave, because you are you are a coach who has experience as a head coach. But think about when you were a head coach.
Yep.
Would you have had the same approach? What you just said reflects the reason why we see so many quarterbacks drafted in the first round not succeed, I think. You say he's got to get the keys from day one. You got to let him see. And I agree with that because that's today's NFL. But the bridge guy is almost like an obsolete part in the NFL rosters because Sam Darnold, theoretically, look at the 2021 draft. Why did all those guys fail? Because they weren't developed properly. Nobody was patient. Nobody's patient anymore.
Hey, with the skill they got two couple offensive linemen, their first and second round picks.
Okay.
I would go.
They got Aaron Jones now.
I mean, who is their first game? Because let me tell you, I don't know who. Dustin,
schedule comes out probably March 11th.
Okay. May 9th or May 16th.
May 9th.
You know what happened? And I hear what you're saying, David. It's a good point. But Sam Darnold, whoever they open up with, is going to throw an interception that first game, and it's over. That time will go upside down.
You know who else is going to throw an interception in the first game? Kirk Cousins. And then everyone's going to be crying for Michael Penix Jr.
Oh, somebody tell me what they were thinking and still think. Unless they're going to trade him. You know, we drafted Troy Aikman and in June drafted Steve Walsh with the first round pick. But we traded Steve Walsh after and got a first and a second round pick. So unless they're going to trade Penix, that you're right. I feel bad for Kurt. I feel good for Penix because you know what's going to happen in that situation? There's going to be half the locker room that are buddies with Penix, half of them with Kirk Cousins. There'll be a coach that says, God, you know, the young kid looks pretty good. I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess.
So Justin Fields, I want to get back. Not Justin Fields. Caleb Williams, I want to get back to the Bears. I want to get back to him as quarterback. You saw last year, you just mentioned it, they had the worst tackling defense you've seen. Obviously, his receivers are taken in the seventh round. It's not like he had this great receiving core where they got a guy going in the top 10. But you think about him playing last year and developing this kind of feeling that he had to be the home run hitter, that he had to go for broke on most of the plays he was throwing because – number one, they didn't have a lot. He had to score points. That's not the case here. When he gets into the NFL, what you want is you want the ball never to hit the ground. You want these receivers, good as they are, to catch the football. You want to settle for if it's a wide receiver screen, if it's a running back screen, if it's a short pass over the middle, and let the receivers run. How do you take away, or do you – try to take away his penchant, his desire to go for the long ball? How do you deal with that?
You know what? That's the one thing, breaking down Caleb, because he was sacked a lot of times.
Yep.
And the checkdowns were there. And I think I've said this before, that's the number one thing that I would say. And when we're watching tape and we draw up a play, because guys are going to be covered here, just like they're covered at USC. And, okay, who's your check down? You know, is it the back? Is it the tight end? Whoever. Who's your check down? Who's your check down? Because he didn't do that.
Yeah.
And I talked to a couple guys, you know, the quarterback guys, I mean, that have been around the league, and that was their impression, the reason the guy got sacked. If a guy was covered, he would move in the pocket and wait for guys to try to come open down the field.
His movement wasn't to run. He didn't run. He got away from pressure to try to complete a pass.
There's a difference. Yeah, there's a difference because we've seen enough of quarterbacks escaping to run.
But the NFL demands.
Yeah, you've got to get rid of it quicker. Yep. Keep your eyes down the field.
Yeah, and so that's simple. I mean, and he's not going to want to get hit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole different deal here. So I don't want to use the challenge, but that's something that he's just going to have to learn, and it's to his advantage. I mean, he's got guys now. I mean, between Swift and the tight ends we got, I mean, he's got a nice, you know, he got guys that can make plays if you get him the ball.
You've never had this problem, Dave, but I think when you have three receivers the caliber the Bears have, how do you keep them all happy? Is that it's a great problem for Shane Waldron to have, but isn't that his responsibility to try to figure that one out?
100%, 100%. And that's why I went back to the Brett Favre, Tom Brady scenario, kind of way it was with them. When they were calling plays, you know, they didn't even wait for Tom to hit the check down. They would call screens. And when in Favre's early year, they were the screen kings, tight end screens, fullback screens, tailback screens, receiver screens. I mean, nobody did more and did them well than the Green Bay Packers in the early days with Brett Favre. And so I think it was twofold. One, you know, helping him mature, get used to reading coverages and everything, and getting high percentage throws.
That's what I want to see from their offense. I want to see them be able to move the chains through. You know, if they throw 60% of the time, I know they're going to try to be balanced, but just make first downs. And then you get into the red zone, and then you get your touchdown. I'm worried about the idea that everybody is going to want to see the long ball, and we're going to see, you know, you just have to be patient and do what you can do and then develop that stuff as you go along.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about that. And that's why my opening statement was, I didn't want to use the word patient with the fans, but let's be patient a little bit and know that this is a process a little bit. And,
That's why that identity question is really interesting and one that we're going to have to revisit, because the Bears have an opportunity or a choice that they have to make. You know, you can be gradual and deliberate in your, I don't know, the development of Caleb Williams. Sounds kind of silly to say you're going to develop Caleb Williams, but you don't want to give him too much too soon. And you can lean into your defense and you can lean into the running game, especially if your offensive line strength is blocking the run. You kind of give them a chance to develop a cohesion together and don't be in such a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, they...
Is this a playoff team?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to put these coaches and everybody on the shelf that way and say it is. Put them on the limb. But I'm going to say...
You literally just did.
Did I?
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to say that come December...
Right.
Come December... They should be relevant as far as playoff talk. And it won't be. It's never easy. We all know that. Got to stay healthy. Everything that's involved with it. But the schedule is going to help them. You know, we don't know the schedule yet. But, God, the teams they play, what do they play? The South, the AFC South. And, I mean, they should have a
– They go to London, too.
They should have a very –
got a London game.
Very favorable –
that's good or bad.
Very favorable trip they should – or schedule they should have, you know.
It's interesting because, you know, we don't, as we said, the schedule's coming up in another couple weeks and we'll figure all that out. But the Bears are always a big team on nationally televised games. They always deliver an audience for the NFL. It is 7-10 last year. They were on 4 nationally televised games. There was only 4 teams in the league that were on all 6. You're allowed 6 of them. So, I just wonder, do you think, in the 4 teams last year, I believe, were Dallas, Buffalo, Kansas City, and weirdly, the Chargers. But maybe going into the season, the quarterback, people thought they were going to be better than they were. I wonder how many nationally televised games the Bears will be on. If they were on 4 last year when they weren't even a winning team, does that mean they're – I think there were 7 teams on 4, 7 teams on 5, and 4 teams – that were on all 6 times. I think the Bears might be one of the 4.
They could be, Dave. Yeah. They could be this year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that good or bad from their perspective?
I don't think it really matters. From a player, the only thing, you know what matters is Monday night games from a player and coach's perspective. You don't like
Thursday.
Thursday games, you don't like them.
Those 6 teams probably played twice on Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, from a fan's perspective, it's great because you're the only show in town. But from a coach's and player's perspective, those night games, they're rough, guys. I mean, they're not – you're sitting around all day, and then you lose a day of work, and you're tired next day, short week. I mean, it's great for the fans, but the players and coaches, it's
you want noon on Sunday, noon on Sunday, just for your body rhythm. Teams love that.
Yep.
But I think they're going to be on a ton of nationally televised games. And I'm going to predict right now that they are on national television the opening weekend of the season.
Yeah.
Because obviously you got Green Bay and Brazil, right? And then you got a game on Sunday, then maybe Monday night, the Bears open?
The debut of Caleb Williams as an NFL quarterback is going to be something that the NFL, I think, deems worthy for America to see.
You could put him on against the Packers. You could put him on against the Lions. You could put him on against San Francisco. They play San Francisco this year. What about Houston? Wouldn't that be something if they had the two young quarterbacks, top draft picks
great matchup
a couple years going?
A lot of drama. A lot of good storylines.
How about Minnesota? How about McCarthy?
Yeah.
Wow. Rookie matchup. Yeah. That would be something because you got J.J. McCarthy starting from day one. Sam Darnold, you have him cut.
You can start him because then the Bears are going to intercept him and J.J. will be in there by the second quarter.
So who then is not in the playoffs in the division? If the Bears are going to make the playoffs, you said they're going to win 10 games and make the playoffs.
That's a good one. That's a good – I don't know because I think Green Bay should be better.
Yep.
Minnesota should be better, and we know Detroit's not going away.
Green Bay had a good draft.
Yeah.
You know, and the Lions helped themselves. So
they got the Lions
– fun division.
Yep. Got secondary help. Right. That's what they needed. They addressed it right off the bat. No, it's the division is going to be that's going to be the challenge for the Bears. How can we win the division? The outside games that they have this year on the schedule will be relatively not easy, but it's going to be the division is going to be the challenge.
It will be because the Bears really, you could make the argument, have won the offseason.
Roma Dunze said he sees green and he wants to puke. Said that about the Packers.
Oh, boy.
That's a nice win.
And he's not talking about Oregon.
And Montez Sweat said, we will not. Didn't he say
so? Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that carries more weight.
Yeah, that's a guy.
Than a sickly rookie.
Yeah.
Nauseated stomach. Dave, you're the best. Thank you a ton.
Okay.
A lot of fun.
Thanks, Dave.
We'll talk. Okay, guys.
All right. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Is this a playoff team?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to put these coaches and everybody on the shelf that way and say it is, put them on the limb. But I'm going to say
you just did. You literally just did.
Did I?
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to say that come December,
right.
Come December, they should be relevant as far as playoff talk.
That's a good way of putting it. They're going to be in the mix. Come September, come November.
Well,
December.
They should be based on
yes,
a couple things. Third year of a head coach's regime.
Let's see that one.
And also, you first could year. Make the argument, and I think when you look objectively around the NFL, you could make the argument that the Bears have had as productive of an offseason, as transformational of an offseason, as any team in the league. And that's not just a Chicago-centric point of view.
Oh.
I think when you look at it objectively,
yeah.
The Bears have changed their team, their roster, their fortunes as much as any team
good.
In the NFL. I think there are other candidates out there. You look at maybe, you know, the Jets have had a big offseason. There have been other teams that probably qualify as candidates, but I don't know that anybody has improved on paper any more than the Bears.
The Jets' offseason comes down to whether Aaron Rodgers is healthy and can play.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean, they've improved in different spots, and they've done a lot of stuff, but all it is kind of window dressing for that quarterback.
Yeah, and he has to stay healthy.
That's it.
And he has to be a guy that as capable of being the same quarterback if he is healthy at this stage of his career.
Yes.
I almost wonder, it's crazy to say, but if you're looking at that directly, like, is Aaron Rodgers, do you have more faith that he is going to be the same quarterback and stay healthy this season as you do in Caleb Williams' ability to make an impact as a rookie quarterback? You know, both question marks hover over both franchises, but I think if you're the Bears, you feel very good about your answer because of what you've seen on tape and how he's handled just the early phase of being the guy.
I got a friend who texted me who said that I sound like I'm trying to put handcuffs on Caleb Williams. And that is not what I mean. What I'm saying about the Bears and their offense is that they need to – I'm looking for consistency as an offensive team. I'm not just looking for big strikes. I think that if the quarterback is only looking for big strikes – then you're going to have a lot of 50-50 balls. Maybe their receiving core is good enough to get the majority of those, but there's going to be some turnovers. If he's holding the ball and running around the pocket, there's going to be some fumbles. I'm being honest.
No,
I'm looking for them to open the season with consistency on offense, move the ball, move the chains, and then score points.
I think
they can score a lot of points.
They'll score more points. Obviously, they have better talent surrounding the quarterback. I think all that you're saying and I'm agreeing with is that they don't have to be in such a rush to see how big of a superstar Caleb Williams will become. You have to be gradual and deliberate when you're talking about a rookie, regardless of the potential that he might have. And the way that we talked about it on Saturday is the way that we're going to continue to, I think, refer to it this year. This year, you want to gradually win with Caleb Williams. He's going to give you the opportunity to win games
yes.
with him. At some point in time, there's going to be a point in his career where it changes, and you're
yes.
going to win because of him.
That's it.
You're not there yet.
That's
you don't
it.
Need to be.
No. And you are set up to be able to win with him as a rookie. And then who knows where it winds up. I think he's going to be a star player. He's already kind of a star player. It was interesting talking to Dave about him coming in here. And you know, we didn't really get into the whole NIL money, but this is a guy that already, at his age, has $10 million in the bank.
Yeah.
This is a guy that already is out in L.A. going to basketball. He has been a kind of a star for a while. This is not like he's suddenly going to be a star in the NFL. It's like he's going to
–
start a new career. He seems totally committed.
Oh, he was so exhausted by the media tour he took in Chicago on Friday that he had to get back and relax in L.A. on Saturday night by going to the Laker game in front of everybody and then posing for more pictures and being the celebrity that he has become. And did you see yesterday that apparently there's an Instagram photo, I think it was from Monday, but he is in LA again on the USC facility on the field throwing to DJ Moore.
I saw that. Yeah.
So he's working out with DJ Moore
in
LA.
That's great.
After spending the weekend in Chicago. And these are the kinds of things that you love to see if you're a Bears fan. This is the kind of thing that keeps you excited because right around the corner is rookie minicamp, then the OTAs, and then the veteran minicamp. Next thing you know, they'll be back at Halas Hall for training camp, and the 2024 season will have begun.
312-644-6767. Let's try Sean. He's in the western suburbs. Hey, Sean, how are you?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, 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 good.
I'm confused. For the past several months, I haven't heard anybody talk about the Bears' woeful offensive line. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they gave up 5 sacks to the Packers in their last game on 16 dropback passes and gave up 10 tackles for losses. So I don't understand why everybody's thinking that this is going to be great for Caleb Williams with all these wide receivers. It ain't going to do a damn bit of good if he's picking turf off of his helmet because he's constantly getting sacked.
Well, it's a fair point. The offensive line remains a question, but I do think that number one, you go into every season, and every team does this. Your success is predicated on the health of any particular unit. Your offensive line has to stay healthy. And if the Bears' offensive line is healthy, I think they feel good about their collection of 5 with Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis. Mm-hmm. I think they traded for a center in Ryan Bates. They signed another one in Shelton for depth.
Yep.
They feel very good about Darnell Wright's development at right tackle. And Braxton Jones is serviceable, but they drafted competition to provide, you know, him with a little bit of depth. They signed a guy prior to give you depth. They've addressed the offensive line. I don't think it's great, but I'm not sure it's terrible either. It's probably somewhere in between.
It's a fair concern.
Mm-hmm. It is the one concern. Probably the biggest concern on the Bears.
I mean, they've made a lot of moves, but it comes down to this. Is Nate Davis going to be healthy? Are his personal issues set aside? Is Tevin Jenkins going to be healthy? Is he going to hold up? Is Braxton Jones? I mean, that's a guy that's scary when you have a neck injury. He had a neck injury at one point. Is he okay? Is he an improving player, or are you going to have to replace him? I think Darnell Wright is the guy that you probably trust the most.
Yes, you do.
Ryan Bates, I'm not sure this is Cody Whitehair part 2.
Or Lucas Patrick part 2.
Well, I think the other guy's Lucas Patrick.
You think Garrett Shelton?
Yeah.
Well, you can
Coleman.
Mix and match. Yeah. I think either one of them
Coleman, Shelton could
leaves
be,
you wondering exactly what they're going to bring to the Bears offensive line. As far as Nate Davis is concerned, he's got to be the player that you thought you were getting when you guaranteed him $19 million.
Yes.
Because he wasn't last year, and he started slow, and there was some sort of awkward acclimation period that you really don't understand all. I still don't quite know what went wrong or what happened. I know he was dealing with some grief and a death in the family. I'm not sure how much that contributed. If he starts with a clean slate, maybe he's that player. I think he's got to be for the Bears to feel like they can trust their offensive line. If he's not that guy, then the domino effect, because you have to plug and play and you want your 5 as 1. And then if you can't do that, it's a good call. It's a good concern. That's the number 1 concern for the Bears.
It might be the number 2 concern because you're also worried about, football teams win on the line of scrimmage. It's as simple as that. So you are worried about the depth on your defensive line, whether you should be or not.
You do.
You do worry about the depth of the line and you both sides.
They've been better on defensive than they have been in offense in terms of the lines.
Okay.
They've proven that they can stop people. They can find ways to mitigate the damage, if you will.
If Montez Sweat is there and operating in the high motor fashion, which he does.
Yes, and they have a couple good linebackers that clean up a lot of people's messes and mistakes.
Right.
I feel better about the defensive line, even though it's a point well taken, than I do about the offensive line, which might be one injury or away from inconsistency.
Boy, I mean, again, it's fun to pick nit because you really can't argue with the skill position.
In either side of the ball. Your secondary could be your team's strength, your wide receiving core is as good as there is in terms of a trio in the NFL.
Yeah.
You've got a franchise quarterback, finally, and you got DeAndre Swift in the backfield that pretty dangerous, and he has been that way with both the teams. He's on his third team, which gives you a little bit of a concern, but he's also pretty dangerous.
All right, we're going to bring in Mike Florio to the conversation. We'll talk to Mike about where he sees the Bears. There's a lot of issues going around the league. There was a big story about Pittsburgh on the verge of getting a big-time acquisition. Everyone's wondering if it's a wide receiver and which team is trading a wide receiver post-draft. There's a lot of speculation about that. We'll bring in Mike Florio, Mr. Pro Football Talk, and we'll break that down next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
So we can't beat, beat!
We can't beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
What's up, Gator!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our guy, Mike Florio, and he joins us on the Score hotline. Michael, good morning. How are you?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
We are all fired up. You know, the Bears look like they had a great offseason. Everybody is kind of buzzing about the draft, and we're just waiting for the next step.
Yeah, when's the Super Bowl parade?
They're going to have it pre-Super Bowl.
February 2028.
Yeah, before the season.
Hey, but look, there's two alternatives this time of year. You can have hope or not. And I think one of the reasons the draft is so popular, it is the tool that sells hope to 32 fan bases. And the more passionate you are, the more glass half full you can be, you can make the argument for any team that this year is potentially the year, especially because teams get so much better from September to December. But the Bears have reason to be excited. Two top 10 picks, two pieces to the offense, first franchise quarterback maybe since Sid Luckman. So it's a time to feel good about the team. You know, only one team wins the Super Bowl. The other teams are allowed to feel good about things between now and the moment they hand out the hardware.
And a lot of those pre-draft reservations about Caleb Williams seem a little misplaced now, Mike. I wonder what you think about the impression he has made since being taken number one overall and being on stage with Roger Goodell.
Well, you know, I saw him before the draft. He had that pink phone. I tweeted, "Don't do it, Bears. Pink phone. And I was being sarcastic, and I feel bad for anybody who didn't realize I was being sarcastic when I did it on Thursday night. We loved Caleb Williams. We met with him at the scouting combine. When you deal with a lot of different people in this business, as we do, there are certain people who just stand out. There are certain people who just get it. We were talking earlier today, and this on the surface is going to seem like it has no connection whatsoever to this. We were talking about Tom Hanks. And I remember when Tom Hanks first showed up on the show Bosom Buddies in the late 70s. He jumped off the screen, and it was obvious this guy was going to be a superstar. And you can just feel it. You can sense it. And I feel that way about Caleb Williams. And Sims and I felt the same way about Rome Odunze. There's just that it factor. And yeah, he's ultimately
buddies.
He's ultimately got to play. but at the same time, there's just something that, you know, they get it. They understand it. They know what they're in for. They know what they need to do. They're going to get to work. They're going to bust their asses. They're going to commit to it. That's the one thing that you can't glean from any scouting reports, how committed the guys are going to be. And I think they're both going to be very committed.
Mike, is there a big trade happening with Pittsburgh? Didn't we get kind of a big trade alert and everybody was speculating it's a wide receiver?
Well, I think, what was it, Brian McFadden dropped that idea yesterday. Mm-hmm. Steelers are on the verge of adding a potent weapon on offense, and whether that's Tyler Boyd or OBJ via free agency or some sort of a trade. I feel like the window is closed, in theory, on a Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel trade. You know, the Steelers originally were interested in Ayuk back around the scouting combine. 49ers said we're not trading him. Then when it became obvious he was in play, it pivoted to Deebo Samuel for the Steelers, and the 49ers wanted too much. I just don't know at this point, unless the Steelers or any other team would have a tangible piece to offer the 49ers, who can make a difference for them right now, why would you move these guys unless you think like Ayuk's not going to show up at all this year and you're going to have this big distraction, this big problem? Because the time to act was last week when you get a pick that you can turn into a young player who comes in right now. You've got him under contract for multiple years. So I'd be surprised if it happens now because it should have happened last week.
Mike, what is Home Depot's policy on returns? Because Kirk Cousins would like to know if Arthur Blank could give him back.
Hey, I'd like to inject a little sodium pentothal into the veins of Kirk Cousins and ask him, would you have stayed in Minnesota if you had known the Falcons were going to take a quarterback with the 8th overall pick? Somebody pointed out to me, and I had forgotten this, because so much of what he said in his introductory press conference was just admitting candidly and foolishly how the Falcons had tampered with him 5 different ways, potentially. He said that when an organization has the owner, GM, coach, and quarterback on the same page, that's when you can win a Super Bowl. Well, he didn't even have the book. He didn't know what was going on until they were on the clock and they told him they're drafting a quarterback. I mean, he's going there to win and win quickly. So you take a top 10 draft pick, which could have been a key piece. They had Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas who went to Seattle at pick 16 and is just potential wreaking havoc and great defense to go along with your offense. But no, they draft a guy with the 8th overall pick who, if all things go as planned with Cousins, won't play at all while he's there. And they've introduced a dynamic that Cousins has never dealt with before. He's never had a guy looking over his shoulder. They never chanted, "We want Sean Mannion in Minnesota." He's just never had to deal with this. And they have introduced potential chaos into the organization, all under the guise of a succession plan. And there are some in the media who are trying to help him carry the water a little bit. It's baloney. It's stupid. It's stupid, stupid, stupid. And I mean, look, we all should have a strong case of buyer's remorse with $100 million guaranteed coming to us the next 3 years. But still, Cousins has to be thinking, what have I done here? And he has to be asking, can he really trust his new employer?
Mike, Kelce's in the news yesterday. Obviously, Travis gets a pay raise, not an extension, but the 2 years remaining on his contract make him the richest tight end in the league. And you hear that he's not falling off. And meanwhile, his brother apparently joining the set at ESPN.
Yeah, it's a good time to be anyone named Kelce, including Donna, who has made a little money the past couple of years as well. This deal with Kelce is interesting to me because on the surface, they ripped up the 2 years left on the deal and replaced it with a new one. Teams rarely will do that. The Rams did it with Aaron Donald, and now the Chiefs are doing it with Kelce. Well, the Rams did it with Aaron Donald under the express threat that he was going to retire. And I wonder, like, behind the scenes, you know, at some point when you consider he's dating Taylor Swift, he's executive producer of a couple of movies, he's going to host a game show on Amazon Prime, which isn't, I think, the ultimate trajectory he's looking for. I think he wants to be The Rock. And why wouldn't he want to be The Rock? Why wouldn't he want to be, making huge money to star in action films? But I think that this year he's in for football, but if his ship comes in and if it's a really big Jerry Jones sized yacht, he'll just say, see you later after 1 year. And the Chiefs, by having the money not fully guaranteed until the third day of the league year in 2025, that gives the Chiefs an out too if he dips. Because the signs are there of just a little slippage. If he really falls off the cliff this year, they can move on and save the $17.25 million. But he made it clear the way he explained it. He's looking forward to the next 2 years. I think it's 2 years at most for Kelce, and it might only be one.
Quickly, Mike, what's wrong with Boomer Esiason? Why did CBS get rid of him?
And?
Well,
Phil Sims, I understand. What's wrong with Boomer?
Chris is my guy, and I used to hate Phil because, he tore the heart of the Vikings out back in 1986, fourth and long on a play that laid the foundation for the Super Bowl team and put the Vikings DOA that year. But I digress. It's a new president, one of these networks. It's time to make some big changes, and everybody's contract was up. I'm surprised James Brown and Bill Cowher are back. I thought they were just going to, hit the button and clear them all out and start over again. So I'm surprised it's going to be kind of a mix of old and new with Matt Ryan taking over this year for the spots. Maybe they'll hire somebody else, but for now it's Ryan in and two others out.
Does Ryan have a personality? I'm just trying to remember him saying anything memorable.
Well, I don't want to say something's going to get myself in trouble. It's already been a challenging week as it relates to me running my mouth. I like Matt Ryan. He's a really nice guy. But he's not exactly, he doesn't pop off the screen like Tom Hanks. Let's just say that.
That's great. Hey, Mike, thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
That's hilarious. That's Mike Florio. The line of the show now is you saying that Caleb and Odunze are bosom buddies.
he compared him to Tom Hanks, that's and he invoked awesome. That game or that that, awesome. That show. And
was that a cross-dressing sitcom?
I don't remember it that well.
I don't remember it at all.
I remember Tom Hanks. I don't remember him jumping off the screen. But wouldn't you say that Caleb and Rome Odunze are kind of bosom buddies?
We've got they're not in a sitcom. We've got a couple of calls. We're going to get to the line 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.